Do you want to go and spend eternity with God? There's a price for it. You got to put God first. In heaven, they put God first. And is that something difficult God is asking? Do you know when you put God first, all the filthy things in your life will be cleansed away? I'll tell you, it's because you don't put God first that those filthy things still cling to you. Some area in your life, God is not first. Something else is first. Money is first. Some relatives are first. Ask God this coming year to make sure He's first in your life. Like the first words in the Bible, in the beginning, God. Let it be like that every day of this year in your life. Lord, I want you to be in the beginning of my life, not my possessions, not my family. And I'll tell you something else. You'll be able to honor your father and mother much better if you put God first. I believe I can love my wife much better because I put Christ in my life first. I told her when I got engaged to her that you'll never be first in my life. You'll always be second. Christ will be first. And I told her, I don't want ever to be first in your life either. I want to be second. I want you to put Christ first. That's what I told my wife more than 50 years ago, and that's what I tell her now. I don't want to be first in your life. Our marriage life will be miserable if we make each other first. And that's why there are so many fights and quarrels. And if I don't yell and get angry with my wife ever, even once in 365 days, it's because she's not first in my life. Because Christ is first. Think of these things, my brothers. It's not something we accomplish. It's something God works in us. That's in the new covenant. In the old covenant, the commandments were, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. The 10 commandments were all like that. And all those 613 commandments in Leviticus and Numbers and all were, do this and don't do this, and if this happens, do this, do this. And boy, they couldn't keep it. And God understood that they cannot keep it. Why did He give it? He gave it so that they can learn that you cannot keep God's standards, no matter how hard you try. So if you look at 2018, the year that has gone by, maybe it's like being in like an old covenant period in your life where you tried, and I'm sure many of you, perhaps all of you, have sincerely tried to live according to the standards of God's word that we have preached in this church, and you have found you have failed. Good. God wanted you to fail. That's an old covenant period, 2018. Now let's move into the new covenant, where God says, Hebrews chapter 8, if, verse 7, if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second. But He finds fault with the old covenant. And He says, the days are coming when I'll make a new covenant. Why don't you take that as a promise for the new year? That the Lord will establish you in a new covenant in this new year. Where it's not going to be like the one I made with the Israelites in the past, where I told them, don't do this, don't do that, don't worship idols, do honor your father and mother, keep the Sabbath, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet your neighbor's wife or neighbor's thing, etc. It's all don't do this and do this and don't do this and don't do this. They could not do it. It says in verse 9, last part, they did not continue in my covenant and I did not care for them. But now I'm making a new covenant. We are the Israel of God today. The Christian church is the Israel of God that He makes His new covenant with in verse 10. You know, by the way, I want to tell you, there are people who even say this. I've actually read it. Christians who say, this is not for us. Hebrews is not for us. This is a covenant. We are not in the new covenant. New covenant has not yet come, they say. New covenant is when Jesus comes back, and then He will make this covenant, verse 10, with the house of Israel. Boy, what a deception. And then to discover when Jesus comes back that 2,000 years we were supposed to be in the new covenant. And these people who say that, the whole purpose of it is to keep people defeated by sin till Jesus comes. And we are called to expose that lie of the devil. It's for us. You know, in Galatians 6, the last end of the last chapter, the church is called the Israel of God. That's what we are. This is the covenant I will make, says the Lord. And I'll tell you how I know it is, because I've experienced this in my life. I was more defeated by sin in my thought life than probably any of you. I don't mind saying that. I'm ashamed of it, but there's a curtain behind me. And I look back and there's nothing. My life is absolutely clean, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not condemned by a single thing I did in my foolish, unconverted days or my foolish believing days when I did not take sin seriously. I'm not condemned by even one stupid, foolish thing I did, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me thoroughly. And when Satan accuses me, I overcome him, giving the word of my testimony to the blood of the Lamb. Not a word saying, but I am different now. That's not my testimony. But I have changed. No. Satan, the blood of Jesus Christ has blotted out my past. And he keeps me from stumbling now. It's got nothing to do with me. He took care of the past and he takes care of me now. And he takes care of my future. It's all of Christ. All of Christ. Nothing of Zach Poonen. So that's the new covenant. The Lord says, I will put my laws into your mind. That means he'll give me a great passion to obey everything. When Ephesians 4:31-32 says, put away all anger, I have a great passion to put away all anger from my life. When it says, put away all impurity, I'm going to put away all impurity from my life. How? Because God has put that desire. I want that. And then I say, Lord, I've got the desire now, but I don't have the ability. And the Lord says, okay, I'll write it in your heart. I'll give you the ability. Let me paraphrase that. I will give them a desire to obey me in their mind, and I will give them grace and strength in their heart to keep what I command them. Have you read this verse in Hebrews 13 verse 8? Which says, sorry, not 13:8, 13:9, Hebrews 13:9. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Grace doesn't come to your mind. It comes to your heart. What does it do? It strengthens you. Strengthens you to do what? That will which God has revealed to your mind and which he has given you a desire to obey, which you didn't have the strength for. Two things. The desire and the ability in the mind and in the heart. The heart, and that's what grace is for. The Holy Spirit comes and instructs my mind and challenges me to do God's will and then gives me grace in my heart to actually do it. God says he'll do it. Why not allow him? I'm not a robot. God doesn't make us robots. You know how robots are. It's all programmed with computers inside. And the robot will do whatever you say. It'll never make a single mistake. We can think of the stars and planets like robots. They've obeyed God for thousands of years without one second of disobedience. Would you like to be like that? A Christian who obeys God without one second of disobedience? But how? Like a robot? Like the star? No! I want to be like Adam with a free will and choosing not to go in the direction God has forbidden and to go in the direction where I can contact him, the tree of life. I want to have a free will. I never want to be a robot. God is a father. Like I often say, do you want a little robot in your house or a child? Do you know robots will obey you much better than your children? Do you know that a robot will never disobey you? It'll always speak nicely to you. Say, hello, daddy. I'll do whatever you say. You program it. Whatever you want, it'll say. You want a robot or a naughty child who may disobey you, but one day when that child comes and hugs you and says, I love you, daddy, it melts your heart. That's what God wants in heaven. A bunch of people who choose to say, Lord, in the midst of an evil world, I love you. I love you more than my money. I love you more than everyone because you're my creator. You're the one who made me. And I want to live for you. That brings more delight to God's heart than if He programmed us to say, yes, Lord. If God had programmed Adam, he would never have gone to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because as he went near it, the program inside will say, turn right. He would turn right. Walk to the tree of life. He would walk there. Now take from the tree. You think God wanted a robot? No. And he doesn't want a robot from you now. That's why he gives you freedom, even after you hear all these truths, to go and disobey if you want. You can go and disobey tomorrow. You can hear all these wonderful things. And all 365 days of 2019, you can disobey God. He won't stop you. But he'll be delighted if there are even a few who choose the way to life. For your own good, Moses told the Israelites, the commands God is giving is for your good.